America needs a tidal wave of the old-time religion.
I have sinned against you.
How dare you!
We have no need to doubt God.
The heart of Babylon is preparing the nations to receive the Antichrist.
I didn't even build that house with money from the church. I built it with money from my book.
I don't make this stuff up.
Repenting of your sin.
It is a moral issue.
They got together and swore a pact to the devil.
I just enjoy seeing people worship, praising God.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to
Believe It
or Not,
the show where we believe it.
Or was it?
Or, not.
There it is.
Did we? I don't know.
Did we?
Besides the point, it doesn't matter. We did, we didn't. That's for you to decide.
Mm-hmm.
The viewer or listener.
You know, they say.
Yeah, is that what they say?
Yeah, they're always like, ay.
Which Pope was the first one to say that?
I think that was Joey the Rat.
Ah, yeah. Pope Joey the Rat, my favorite Pope.
Yeah, he was great. He's just a good Pope.
Yeah.
Damien, what's new with you?
Well, you know, life just keeps chugging along towards the grave. You know, we're just circling the drain.
I hear that. No,
you know, it's been good. Weather's getting nicer, you know, days are getting longer. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a show at Sketchfest with my sketch group on March, so that's fun. Yeah, so it's good. How about yourself, Trev? Anything exciting going on in the world of Trevor?
Let's see. I got some family coming this week to visit the old T-Dot.
Yes.
So I'm hanging out with them a bit.
Dot Ronto.
Some jerk chicken, I think.
Oh, and I was thinking about that the other day.
Well, I'll probably get jerk chicken's delicious, but I'm not very good with spice. It's
too spicy.
So I usually get oxtail or something like that. But
right.
But what else? Oh yeah, and Jagger turned 6 yesterday. My cat turned 6 years old.
Happy birthday to you, Jagger.
Happy birthday, dear Jagger.
You got your stick?
Yeah, it's like a catnip stick.
Right.
And he loves it, so
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. And it's what my parents used to get me for my birthday, so it...
And you loved it.
I loved it, so
yeah.
But Damien, do you believe
in life after love, or is it love after love?
Is it
love after love, or I believe in a thing called love?
Yeah,
I believe in a thing called love.
There's two options for how the Earth got here.
Okay.
One, we evolved. That's not how the Earth got here.
Right.
One is the Big Bang Theory, and then physics and gravity.
Yep.
Things like that.
The TV show.
The other one
is
that I think the gods created it on the back of a turtle.
Yeah.
And we're on a... No, wait.
But where did the
Genesis
come from?
Account in the Bible is 100% true.
That was just nothing and then something.
Yeah. And God snapped it into existence.
Right.
So which one do you tend to believe?
Well, they say that the universe probably started from nothing too, right? Like even in a scientific kind of way. But
yeah.
No God.
Yeah, I love because I made a video about like how just because I don't know something doesn't mean that your argument's right.
Right, like, exactly.
And then I got so many comments of like, yeah, but you still haven't explained how you can get something from nothing. And it's like, because I'm a dumb idiot. Like, I'm just a YouTuber. Like, I don't know.
Well, I think one of the things, too, with that is that you can't put the onus of the burden of proof on the person who doesn't believe the thing. You don't have any proof that your theory, you know, has anything. We're not claiming to have a theory for how it started necessarily.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We're okay that we don't know.
Yeah. Scientific study suggests this. So this is where I lean. This is what I believe happened. But if science were to be like, actually, we disprove that, I'd be like, cool. And then
with God creating everything too, the other thing, it's always like, well, what created God then? Where did God come from? You're in a cyclical argument where it's the exact same thing, where something had to like come from, well, supposedly. I think too much of it too is based on the way we rationalize things, and there's some things that maybe we just don't fully comprehend.
Yeah.
But either way.
Either way. But I thought I'd talk about somebody who thinks that the Bible is 100% real and everything scientifically that we understand has to line up with the Bible. So the Bible is the number one source, and then everything else has to line up with that, or it's false and science is lying.
Lying.
So, yeah. Science is wrong or lying. So this is a gentleman by the name of Kent Hovind. We've talked about Kent Hovind before in the Preacher Scandal episode, and we've brought him up within creationism discussions and stuff like that, but I figured we'd do an episode about him.
Full on. And he's full-blown Bible's 100% factual.
Yeah.
You have to listen to it because that's true. Mm-hmm. Does this guy... Maybe, I don't know if we'll get to this later, but does this guy live biblically? Does he live completely by the Bible?
He's been married 3 times.
So that's a no?
That's a no, because according to the Bible, that's adultery.
Right. So everything in the Bible is true, and you have to follow that because that's the way it is, but he's not following the Bible as if it were true.
Right.
So does he truly believe it's real then and all true?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, because it does say give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and we will see that he spent some time in jail for tax evasion. So,
yeah, so that's what I'm wondering. Can you really have your whole... I mean, you can. People do it all the time.
Yeah.
Have your whole belief system or, you know... public worldview as one thing while doing the exact opposite. I mean, there's plenty of people who do that.
Yeah. I have a friend who his dad tries to like follow the Bible as much as possible. And one of the things is he eats kosher. And so my friend was saying like he went to a barbecue at his dad's place and they were eating it and there was too much. Like the burgers weren't cooked long enough. So instead of putting them back on the grill, somebody suggested that because there was like juices coming out and you can't eat blood. And
but it's not blood.
But they think it's blood. And so like they had to add a bunch of salt in order to like neutralize that, I guess.
What's that going to do?
I'm not sure. But so everybody just ended up eating these like really salty, like oversalted.
Overcooked
burgers, and it's like, oh, for Jesus, yay. Thanks.
That doesn't make any fucking sense because it's not, it's not blood.
Yeah.
Any time you have red meat, you're not eating the blood.
No.
There's no blood for you to eat. That's not what it is.
No, it is not.
Oh my God. But I don't get what salt does. I guess because they used kosher salt and that blessed it.
Maybe. I use kosher salt because I like the way.
I use kosher salt too because I love being kosher. No, it's because it's a good cooking salt.
Yeah.
Kicking.
But see, Kent Hovind was born on January 15th, 1953, which makes him 70 years young.
Was he related to Beethoven?
Yeah. His dad was Beethoven and he is Kent Hovind. He was married in. At some point, he was married in 1973 to his first wife, Jo.
Number one. Joanne, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think Joanne probably, but it just says Jo here. And they had 3 kids together. But when he was 16 is when he became a born-again, Bible-believing, faithful Christian boy.
So he wasn't before that, then?
I guess not. He probably grew up Christian, but became a independent.
Just not the right kind.
Yeah, exactly. He became an independent fundamentalist Baptist, which are the worst people on planet Earth, in my opinion. Like, maybe not, but they're awful. Like, that's basically what Westboro Baptist is.
Right.
Independent fundamentalist Baptist. But they're their own thing, too. But, like, they're a lot of independent fundamentalist Baptist churches are very sexist and very homophobic. Like Steadfast Baptist Church, famous church right now for saying that gay people should have the death penalty, for cheering on like the massacre in Colorado or the attempted massacre in Colorado. Like, and just awful not groups. Great people. But yeah, not great people, but because they're independent, each church has governs its own thing, so there's not really accountability. So each church does its own thing, and they all just say they're Bible believing, King James only. Like, yeah,
what? What, yeah. What do you mean? They only believe one, the specific translation of the Bible? Is that what?
Yeah,
that?
The 1611 version of the King James Bible.
How, this might be a stupid question. How much of a variation is there between different translations of the Bible? I know there are some, but like, are they significant enough that reading a different translation is really going to make that much of a difference for the overall theology?
Really. Like, they have a couple of examples that they always use, like something about the blood of Christ in some verses is worded differently.
But how can they have the blood of Christ and still be kosher?
Yeah, that's true. Well, these guys aren't kosher, but...
Is it because Jesus was Jewish that it's okay?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. And he had a high sodium diet.
Yeah.
All the salt.
Yeah. In 1971, though, he graduated from East Peoria Community High School, and then he went to a Midwestern Baptist College, which is an unaccredited college. In 1972, he went there and got a bachelor's in religious education.
I find it so funny that there's just like all these unaccredited religious schools. They're like,
oh yeah,
we'll open our own schools and make our own rules and hand out our own degrees. Yeah.
Exactly.
Who recognizes this?
Nobody, but you can put it on your resume, I guess. You can say, like, you can go on YouTube and say, I have a PhD, which is
clearly
what he does.
There are religious organizations that recognize it.
Yeah. Yeah. And he'll get speaking engagements by saying he's a doctor. So he's, and then he got his PhD from Patriot University, which is a great name. Patriot University, which it's just a diploma mill.
Oh, okay.
He got that in 91, was the PhD, and he got the, or his doctorate, sorry, in 91, and then his master's in 88.
Patriot University?
Yeah.
I should think about enrolling.
Mm-hmm.
Get my PhD.
We should start our own, believe it or not, university. Just give
That's
out
true.
Doctorates.
Yeah. We can ordain people, too.
Yeah. It'd be like Andrew Tate's Hustler University. But like...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
How's he doing, by the way?
Oh, hopefully rotting in prison.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What a loser.
Yeah. In 98 is when he started his Dr. Dino website.
Dr. Dino?
Dr. Dino. He's the dinosaur.
Dino.
Yeah. Dr. Dino. He also later created the Dinosaur Adventureland theme park because he believes and teaches that dinosaurs and humans coexist, not existed, Damien.
So this guy believes the Flintstones was a documentary?
Yes, he does. And not only that, but he believes that there's still some dinosaurs alive.
Okay.
Which is why, obviously, they took photos of one in Loch Ness.
Oh, he thinks the Loch Ness Monster is a dinosaur?
Yeah, and not the proven thing, which was
nothing,
a toy submarine with a neck glued on it.
Right.
but yeah, he started the creation science evangelism in 89 to teach creationism around the world. And then, in 98 is when he started the Dr. Dino website. 2001 is when he created the Dinosaur Adventureland. Where dinosaurs and the Bible meet. Yeah.
Oh no, I'm really sad about that. So how old? You said he's in his 70s now.
He's 70, yeah.
So he would have been what, like in his like late 40s, early 50s when he started this stuff.
When he started this, yeah. Okay. Before that, he worked at a bunch of Christian high schools. So he was a Christian high school science teacher, because you don't need to be smart to be a Christian high school science teacher.
You just need a fake degree and a love of the Lord.
Yeah, exactly. So his model of teaching is basically he comes up with ideas in his head and then he teaches that as fact. Like there's no research involved, or he's just like, he comes up with like the dumbest explanations and then just like teaches it. Like for example, he says that the Grand Canyon was created in a week.
A week.
Yeah. So, which is about 6 million years off. So the Grand Canyon actually eroded from the Colorado River over 6 million years.
Yeah.
And like the layers in that took 2 billion years. But he thinks that after the flood, there was a giant lake that was created because of the flood. And then shortly after that, it cracked a wall or something, a dam.
The wall.
And then a whole bunch of water at once made the Grand Canyon.
I mean, part of that is kind of what happens. Like, that's when like the glacier, the North Atlantic was like covered with a giant glacier, and then all that kind of carved away stuff, and then ice melted, and there were big lakes and stuff above what is now what it is. But that was over millions of years and tons of erosion. So same kind of principle, but just like fast forwarded, I guess.
Yeah.
To what did you say? A week?
A week. Yeah.
A week. Okay.
I messaged Cassie about this as well.
Okay. I was going to say you should have asked her about that.
Yeah. Because what's her? She's a geochronologist.
She's got her master in geochronology, but she is a geologist.
Okay. And so she was talking about like the age of the actual. It's pretty different.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Yeah. So he, in the 2000s, he got a lot of speaking engagements, about 700 a year. So he was, he was on the move.
So you're doing like at least two a day.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
Maybe not quite, but about two a day.
Yeah. So a couple years anyway, he had 700. So he was on the move. Probably some of that was like, there was.
Who's hiring this doofus?
Churches and Christian schools and Christian conferences.
Man, I don't mean to be rude, but there's a lot of stupid people out there.
Mm-hmm. The whole thing was dinosaurs and humans coexisted. All dinosaurs were vegetarian before the fall of man. So, like, raptors, T-Rex, all vegetarians, even with those giant teeth.
Where is he coming up with this stuff?
His little head. Because the Bible says that God created all the animals, and then... so if God created all the animals, then all the animals that ever existed had to exist in the Garden of Eden. So,
but then what happened to all the carnivores then, if that's the case?
Yeah, God so created after the all fall, animals fall as vegetarians, man. And then the fall of man happens, and then God's
they
like,
what,
okay,
evolved?
You can eat each other. They didn't evolve, they just started eating each other. I guess God made some of them have sharp teeth just because he liked the look of it.
Oh, so it was an aesthetic thing. He was just
maybe.
Like doing the creative characters and was like, this looks better with sharp teeth.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I heard once he was talking about how, because in the Bible there's two creation stories, right? Like there's Genesis 1 and then there's Genesis 2 and they're separate account.
Yeah, what about Sega Genesis?
Yeah, and then there's Sega Genesis, which is a totally other account.
That's true. Anyway, so what's the difference between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2?
Well, how he explains it, because like the real reason is because there was two different stories that were written, so they liked how both of them were written, so they put them both in the Bible. That's the actual thing.
So bad proofreading.
Yeah, but what he says, and you see this all the time in the Bible, by the way, with like there's David and Goliath, and then there's... another person in Goliath. I always forget his name.
Douglas
and
Goliath.
Because they like to reuse stories and they like to change things where it's like, there's this story about a guy fighting a giant, but also we have this story of a king we like, so we're going to put, we're going to give him that story. But then both books end up in the Bible, so you have both
That's
accounts.
That's so weird.
Yeah. But yeah, so that happens with creation. But what he says is God created the earth, and then... all the animals in it, and Adam, and all the birds, everything. And then God creates the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, instead of God bringing all the animals from all over the earth into the Garden of Eden, he creates them again in the Garden of Eden so that Adam can name all the animals on the earth. So he creates a version of each animal that exists on the earth in the garden so that Adam
can name them. So he made all the, he made like an earth first. Then he made all these animals just out there. And then the garden, and then he just made one of every animal in the garden so that they could be categorized.
Yeah.
Okay. And, then, and how long did that take?
I don't know. Because, yeah, time is weird, I guess, in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, because like how many different creatures are there?
At like least 10? A dozen?
Yeah. So that's going to take it, you know, a couple hours at least.
Yeah, exactly. And he was also supposed to choose a mate out of this, but couldn't find one. So then God created
the animals?
Eve, yeah. So he just wasn't attracted to any of the animals.
He was supposed to be a furry? Or
yeah, I guess so.
Bestiality?
I mean, have you seen the secretary bird? Whew, that is a hot bird.
Well, I thought the secretary bird is the one that you cheated on your first animal spouse with.
Yeah, he was with the zebra first.
Yeah, it's like, why are you always coming home late? Why do you have... beak wax on your collar.
Do you think in Zootopia all the zebras work at Foot Locker?
Probably. I would.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So, where are we now? Oh, yeah. So, he couldn't fuck the animals, so God made Eve. And then...
Couldn't or wouldn't?
Wouldn't, I guess. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
And then...
I'm on board with that.
Eventually, the Noah's Flood happens. Dinosaurs were on the ark, by the way. A lot of people, obviously creationists, will say that that's not how it happened. They were extinct before the ark happened, but no, there were still dinosaurs around, and they went on the ark.
Okay,
they were just baby dinosaurs.
Right. How old was Noah at this point? Was he one of the ones who lived to be like 900 or no?
Yeah, he was. He lived really old, and which Kent Hovind says is because. So you take, okay, so you know in Jurassic Park, as seen here, how they have the mosquito in amber.
Yeah.
So that's a real thing. And he says because if you analyze those air bubbles, they have more oxygen in them. So that means that before Noah's flood, there was more oxygen in the air, which meant that people could live to be like 1,000 years old. And then the flood happens because there was a firmament, and then the flood happens and the firmament changes and changes the atmosphere in the earth. And then after that, people stop living as long.
This guy's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying that the only reason that we live longer is because the oxygen levels are a little different.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
What about people who are on oxygen or in jobs that have to use oxygen?
They live longer. Yeah, they live to be about 1,000.
I don't think that happens.
My friend's a scuba diver, and he's 900 years old, actually.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Some other things he said is that Neanderthals were just regular humans, and they were the ones that lived to be like 300 years old, etc. So when you live longer, your body changes a bit, and that's why those fossils are different.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Sure.
He says that God invented music, and that Satan created ungodly music.
How do we know the difference?
I'm not sure.
Because to be fair, Christian rock is just ripping off rock and roll, right?
That's true.
So... God didn't make very good godly music, so they're ripping off ungodly music, right? Because I think a lot of times they consider rock music to be ungodly. Mm-hmm. So are they saying that God's music was bad and they liked the devil's music, but they just needed to change the words to make it more appealing?
Maybe.
Because that's
been going on for a long time, too, because a lot of old hymns were actually like pub music that they put Christian words over. So
it seems like the godly music wasn't that good.
No.
And the ungodly music was pretty darn good. But I don't know. I digress.
Yeah.
Or you digress, and I'll listen.
Oh, he says there was no salt in the ocean before the flood, and it probably never rained before the flood.
Okay, sure.
He says that a drop of water can cover the entire planet if spread thin enough.
What is this guy talking? I don't know where he's getting these ideas from. I don't know where any of this is coming from. I don't know why any of this is important to his belief either. Like, that's what's so weird about it. It's like, yeah, there's no salt in the ocean before. What?
Yeah.
First of all, one, why? Two, well, why is there no salt in it now?
Oh, I know why. One of the arguments against creation, against the flood,
his tears
is
were
that,
salty.
Yeah, because Jesus wept. No, it's because one of the arguments against a worldwide flood is that the salt water would have killed all of the freshwater fish. So,
but they were all in the boat, weren't they?
Maybe he had aquariums. Yeah, that would make more sense. They swam over.
So that's the only reason that they say that there wasn't salt was because
probably
it would kill the salt.
Yeah. So he got that argument and was like, "Well, there wasn't salt." It's like,
so then where were the saltwater fish?
Exactly. Did they just get used to it afterwards?
They changed. Oh, yeah. They evolved.
Yeah, exactly. So
pick a side.
Yeah, he does say he believes in microevolution. He says he doesn't like the term microevolution, but that's the phrase that's used. So he uses it, but he says it's just variation within kinds.
Okay.
Kinds, of course, being this creationism word that they took from the Bible that doesn't mean anything and never really means anything. Yeah. So like that's why there's variations of dogs.
Like different breeds.
Different breeds of dogs, but you can never make a non-dog from a dog. Which
you can never make a non-dog from a dog.
Yeah.
Well, you can make a hot dog from a dog.
Yeah. And he said, well, evolutionists believe that dogs came from a rock if you go back far enough.
We do?
So, I guess so.
Whoa.
Yeah.
More you know. I didn't know that, but I'm glad to know that dogs evolved from rock.
Yeah. So he says that there's different forms of evolution. Mm-hmm. There's cosmic evolution, which is a term scientists use. I looked it up. But this is what he calls the Big Bang. But that's
okay.
And then there's chemical evolution, and that's the origin of higher elements from hydrogen, which he says he doesn't believe in. And then there's stellar and planetary evolution, which is just, you know, how stars and planets and moons and stuff form over time.
I feel like half of these things aren't even evolution then.
No, they're
not.
If
that's the case, it's just
and then he says organic evolution, which is abiogenesis, like the origin of life.
Yeah.
And then there's macroevolution, changing from one kind of animal to another. And then there's microevolution, which he says is the only one on this list that actually occurs, and that's variation between animals, but within a kind.
Okay.
So you can have a bird eventually create another bird, but you can never have a lizard turn into a bird.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though it kind of seems like that's what happened, right?
Yeah.
So
and he
maybe lizards
ignores
are just
a lot
birds.
Of evidence. What's that?
Maybe lizards are just birds.
Maybe.
Birds are just lizards. I don't know.
Because you know the $1 million offer from
James Randi?
James Randi, thank you. He made his own version, the $250,000 offer. So he started this in 1990. It was a $10,000 offer, and eventually it went up to $250,000. There
yeah.
we go. I can't read numbers. To anyone who can give empirical evidence or scientific proof that evolution exists. But then he puts a bunch of caveats.
Yeah.
And
well, that's not really evolution. I'm like, then what is it?
Yeah. Like he says, I'm not referring to minor variations in all of the various life forms, microevolution. So all the evidence that there is for evolution, he just says is micro. No, I mean, there's obviously more than that, but yeah, like, you know, we observe evolution all the time, But he says, oh, no, that's just variations. That's just slight variations.
But that's how evolution works.
Yeah, exactly.
It's slight variations like, over time. That's what it is.
It's like if I were to tell you, prove to me that you can drive a car from Toronto to Ottawa. I say, but you have to just show me it in Toronto and then somehow appear in Ottawa. You can't show me it actually driving. You can't. Because that's what it is. Like, slight variations is what evolution is. Yeah. So, like, yeah, slight progress, and then it becomes something else. So, like, saying, I want evidence for this, but don't show me this evidence because it doesn't count.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But he wants you to show, number one, that time, space, and matter came into existence by themselves. That planets and stars formed from space dust. And that matter created life by itself. That early life forms learned to reproduce themselves. And that major changes occurred between these diverse life forms.
Wait, so he doesn't believe this, or he does?
He doesn't. This is what he wants you to prove.
Oh, okay. Because, I mean, yeah, I was just like, no, that's what it is, right? I was confused there.
Yeah. And he just ignores any evidence
that's
actually
given. Oh, well, that's all that stuff is. What was that video I sent you where the guy's just like, have you ever seen a monkey turn into a person?
Yeah.
Like, no, because not how it
and
works.
And that was great because that was Jesse Lee Peters, Peterson, and then Aaron Ra. And Aaron Ra was like, have you ever seen a vehicle turn into a car? Because that's what you're asking. Have you ever turned an ape? Have you ever seen an ape turn into a person? Well, we are apes, so that doesn't make any sense. And like, yeah. Yes, I have. Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah.
Man, this guy is crazy, though. Just making all this shit up constantly. Oh, yeah. The fact that people are paying him money to hear his views and just that he has this influence is very strange to me.
Yeah. Until recently, he had a YouTube channel with about 180,000 subscribers.
Okay.
But also, a lot of his old VHS tapes and things like that are still on YouTube. And you can watch the whole thing. They get a lot of views. So he has a big influence still. Some of the other stuff he said. He said that evolution can't exist because termites are tiny organisms. Sorry, termites eat wood, but termites can't digest wood. There's another organism within termites that digests the wood for them. How could each of them evolve individually? It's like, well, we see reasons for that all the time. Like, things evolve together.
That's how digestion works.
Yeah.
That's how our digestion works a lot of times. We have bacteria in us that does a lot of that stuff. What do you think that is?
Yeah.
It's the same fucking thing.
Exactly. And he always calls evolution a religion and says that it's like one of the most dangerous religions and it's the only tax-supported religion. God.
Okay.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he says that that teaching evolution in school is the same as teaching religion in school, but it's the only one backed by so-called scientists, but they're religious.
No, it's not. Maybe if the churches paid taxes, we would talk about them being
given,
being tax-funded. But until they do, I don't think that's going to be an issue. Nor should they, even if they did pay taxes, which they should.
Yeah, exactly.
But regardless.
Yeah, he's also done some political activism, but it's mostly like just trying to get creationism taught in schools and fighting for creationism taught in schools.
God, man, these people just want people to be stupid.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Obviously, I mean, if you can believe this stuff, you can also easily believe in conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
So he believed that the U.S. government was behind 9/11. I guess he watched this change. What's that?
They weren't?
No, what?
They weren't? What the heck?
Show me the jet fuel melting steel beams, please.
Yeah, jet fuel can't melt steel beams.
Mm. And let's see. Yeah, obviously, I mentioned Loch Ness, so he believes in all the cryptids. So like Bigfoot, all that stuff. Or just
at least that's fun.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, what was it? I was reading something or hearing something recently about how Bigfoot sightings just coincide perfectly with black bear populations.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. And yeah, as black bear populations go up, so do Bigfoot sightings. It's like, oh, interesting. Yeah. But there was an article in 2001 accusing creation science evangelism and the Dinosaur Adventure Park for anti-Semitism. They had a lot of anti-Semitic books within their bookstore that they sold at the park. And
so they're keeping kosher and they're anti-Semites?
Oh, no, they're not keeping kosher. That was just
story. No. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I'm getting confused. Anyway, anti-Semites. Yeah. Great. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. So they they had a book called The Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which blamed all the world's problems on Jewish conspiracies.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
And a book called Fourth Reich of the Rich. And And he's recommended Protocols of the Elders of Zion, but the other book was actually in the store that he was selling. So yeah. So yeah, a lot of conspiracy theories. And as well, another issue was that their VHS, they had a claim on the beginning that said, you know, please show this, please reproduce this. We want to get the word and the message out there. But then as soon as YouTube comes along and people start taking clips from it and criticizing it, then they're all about the copyright claims.
Right.
Trying to get any criticism taken off YouTube. And that was a big fight for a long time.
I feel like if you're so insecure about your beliefs being criticized, they're probably not very good beliefs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
someone should tell that to all the pastors that copyright claim me, like the one I'm fighting today. So,
well, it's a lot of rich people who are insecure and they don't want their fan base to find out that they're shams, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Gross. So then, there's been some legal problems as well.
What?
This
guy?
This guy. Nah. So he did spend 9 years in jail. So between 2006 okay. and 2015.
All right. When you said legal problems, I was not expecting 9 years.
Yeah.
What did he do?
He he hadn't paid taxes for himself or any of his businesses in 30 years.
Fucking called it.
Yeah. And
it's never anything cool.
He fought it. People were praying for it. You know, he's always been a conspiracy theorist, so obviously it's because he's showing the truth, and so they're shutting him down because he's showing the truth. People, you know, they're praying that God's gonna get him out of this.
And, I fought the law, and the law won.
And while he was in jail, his son Eric took over the ministry. Eric Hovind.
Okay.
And basically did the exact same talks that he would do, like almost word for word, but like
couldn't even come up with his own
graphics
shit
and cool like.
Oh, he had a PowerPoint version of it.
He had better PowerPoint. Yeah. And then there was a bit of a power struggle when he got out of prison and wanted to take over from Eric. And
they couldn't have worked in tandem.
No, I guess not. His wife was also charged in that. So his wife, Joe, was charged, and they divorced while he was in prison.
Oh, okay. And then he had two wives after that?
Yeah. So then he got married pretty quickly after. And then in... there's some other legal issues, but we'll skip down to his second wife. So he got married. I mentioned before, like, the wedding video used to be on YouTube. I don't know if it is anymore, but my favorite part is when the pastor is like reading the vows and he just takes out a giant handkerchief and just blows his nose so loud in the middle of his own wedding. That was my favorite part. But
he was so overwhelmed with emotion.
Yeah. So his wife, Joe, went to prison for 1 year and he went to prison for 9 years. And she had 3 years of supervision afterwards, after prison.
Okay.
But then, so he gets married after he gets out of prison, but then in 2020, he's arrested for abuse. He smashed his wife down on the ground, like he just body slammed her down on the ground or something like that.
Oh shit! Okay, So spousal abuse.
Spousal abuse, yeah. And so he didn't actually spend any time in jail for that, but he, you know, there's a restraining order, things like that. And
then someone married him again after that?
Yeah, pretty quickly after that. And then within certain circles, he's like worshipped. Like people love this guy. And his wife said in a, his ex second wife said in a quote, he wants to shut me up. He is depending upon public opinion for his livelihood. And I fear he will kill me to shut me up. She also said that he has his right-hand man at her rental property to threaten her and make sure that she's not out there saying that he was abusive.
So, even though he was, and he was he charged for it?
He was charged, never did any time.
Okay, so he's charged for it.
He was arrested July 30th of 2020 on third-degree domestic violence, and he was released right away after posting $1,000 bail. And he went on YouTube right away and said he was squeaky clean and this was nothing to be concerned about, that it was all made up. Yeah,
it's wild how much people can do violent crime and just $1,000, you're out of jail.
Yeah, exactly. After he got out of jail for the tax stuff, he sued the government for $500 million.
For what?
Because he doesn't believe in tax law. Like, he thinks it's like he's one of those sovereign citizen
Fuck this guy
kind of guys. Yeah,
okay,
like not fully, but he has some of their tendencies, so he thought that
does he use roads?
Yeah,
does he
exactly.
use plumbing? Does yeah. he use electricity?
Yeah,
does he use the mail, all this stuff?
Exactly, yeah. Probably uses the mail to get money from his followers.
Because I feel like a lot of that stuff is funded by taxes. And if you think you're a sovereign citizen and shouldn't have to pay taxes, then you probably shouldn't be using that stuff either.
Yeah, exactly. Or create your own little community where you do all that stuff. And
just a thought.
Yeah, and create your own electricity if you wanted it. Yeah.
That's true. I wish I could create my own electricity.
Me too. Well, I can in the bedroom. Yeah, he said the U.S. does not want anyone to investigate the fact that the IRS or the USA cannot produce any factual written law evidence that Kent Hovind had any legal duty to collect any taxes for the USA from any person within CSE Ministries for any year. Oh, so he wasn't even collecting taxes like for his employees and stuff. The reason why is that the Constitution bars them from such multiple. Yeah, so he basically said that they can't. It was false, and then they, you know, obviously he probably thought that they did it because they didn't want him to teach evolution or creationism. So this was how they shut him up. Luckily, he had Eric in his side.
Good old Eric.
Like Trump does. Yeah. Everybody needs an Eric. Recently, so his YouTube channel was shut down in this month. Yeah, very recently. Last year or the year before, he hired Matt Powell to be his little like co-host on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Matt Powell was a pastor at another independent fundamentalist Baptist church, and he made a bunch of movies where he interviewed other independent Baptist fundamentalist preachers about creationism and things like that to try to disprove creationism. So they're working together now, but
the channel was suspended because of terms of service violations. Like, was it just like content that they were doing, or
probably content stuff? Because one of the biggest things recently is that it's shown that he's been harboring a known pedophile on staff at the Dinosaur, like Creation Science. Dinosaur Adventureland, all that stuff.
Okay.
So a guy told the Daily Beast that he'd known Kent Hovind for a long time, for a little while. And he was working with Kent Hovind grading some supplies for the Dinosaur Adventureland. And Kent Hovind starts talking about how this guy who works for him has been charged with lewd acts on children under the age of 14. But Hovind said that it was a sham and that it was a cover-up because he had been exposing the New World Order. So So they just like were doing this to stop him and Ken Hovind. If Ken Hovind was going to hire him, who else is going to, right? So he's been allowing this man access to children at his children aimed theme park.
Well, isn't that why you start a religion?
Yeah, I guess
seems
so.
Seems like it.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's a piece of shit. There's a lot of really good debunking videos of his stuff. Paulogia has a lot of stuff. That's a YouTuber, another Canadian YouTuber. And Aaron Raw has taken down a lot of his stuff. He's, yeah, a lot of cool people. And I think Emma Thorne as well. Yeah, lots of good ones out there. So I don't really do the debunking as well as they do. So check those out, people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on grifters like this man?
I don't get, like, it's just so wild that so much of what they say is based on absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
There's got to be an insane degree of charisma that people like this have, or delusion that the people who listen to them have. It's one of the two, or maybe both. It's bizarre to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bizarre, and it's like, it's a book that they read and they really like the book, and now they have to try to fit the actual world that they live in into the walls of this story, and they have to like ignore facts, make up facts, and just to fit this like round peg in this square hole, and it's insane.
Well, it's also like, I mean, I feel like you can use it as a tool for learning and teaching without having to, you know, be quite so confined, but
because there's a lot of Christians too that believe in evolution and like listen to science because you know, because it's overwhelmingly evident that it's
I still wonder too, like, these people who don't believe in science still use a lot of science every day. I mean, he was using YouTube. I'm sure he's used medical science. I'm sure they've used a lot of the stuff that you know has a lot of basis and things that they might think aren't real for some reason. So it's like the sovereign citizen thing then, you know, well, then maybe you should live off the grid in the middle of nowhere and not talk to anybody. Cause
exactly.
Wow. Piece of shit.
Speaking of people that, we want to talk to though.
Yes.
Should we thank our Patreons?
Let's do it.
Oh my God, wow, thank you so much.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to our Bible study.
And today we are studying, yet again, the Bible.
The Bible, and we're studying that chapter where it says that bats are birds.
Right. And spoiler, Jesus did it.
Yeah. And Jesus was also a bat.
He was bat. He is Batman. Amen. He is my Batman.
Yeah, he would yell bat and then he'd turn into a bat.
Yeah.
He was Batman.
Yeah. True.
Should we bow our heads in prayer?
My head was already bowed down. I was waiting for you to begin.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, that's how ready I am for prayer.
I have a quick prayer for one of our followers, Matthew. I just lift up Matthew with all the lifting up that there is. And
lift him up like you're controlling a scissor lift or a cherry picker to get up on top of the roof and throw all down the tennis balls and frisbees for all the kids to rejoice. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I have a special prayer request today for our friend Haywagon. Haywagon has been going to all the county fairs lately and watching all the tractor pulls. But the thing is that they've been betting on them. And we all know that gambling is a sin. So please, 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 please don't bet on the tractor pulls. They're there for good, clean family fun in the dirt and the mud with your mom and dad, grandpa, uncle, cousin, whatever. And no money should be changing hands there. It should just be there for fun. Okay, so thank you, Haywagon.
Let's get a corn dog. Watch the
corn dog. Get a big sloppy bowl of chili.
Amen.
And watch them pull that tractor.
Speaking of pulling a tractor.
Yes.
Should we do some Christian rock lyrics?
I'm ready to be pulled into that tractor beam.
Can't you see you're not making Christianity better? You're just making rock and roll worse.
Christian rock lyric. So this is, it's less Christian rock, and it's, they call it Christian inspirational music. It's kind of folky, kind of, okay. Definitely.
Rock adjacent.
Rock adjacent, yeah.
Soft rock. I guess Christian rock, already is soft rock.
Yeah, like a potato.
What?
Potatoes are soft rocks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
So this group is called Life Breakthrough. And the song is called Evolution or Creation. And prepare to be inspired, okay?
I'm ready.
You are called the brightest, smartest creation in this world. Really? He made you perfect and call you sons and daughters of his own. He gave you everything you need and made you the highest amongst living things, but still you insist and made your reasons God doesn't exist. Your time has come and you're buried 6 feet below the ground. Your soul has risen and you wonder what you have become. What will you say when you meet God on judgment day? Will you say it's evolution? Will you say it's evolution? You exist, not creation. Will you say it's Big Bang Theory? God, you couldn't be. When will you shake your head? Tisk, tisk, tisk. It's too late. And it goes on like that.
I'm not inspired.
No, me neither.
I'm confused. One thing I hear, like, the thing is that God created us as perfect beings, right?
Yeah.
We do a lot of things that aren't very perfect.
Yeah, we do.
Like, and have a lot of things that aren't very perfect about us. So,
yeah.
I have issue with that basic premise.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. I just, it's just the ego to think that we are perfect is also. Yeah. Pretty sad too.
Yeah.
And then if we are perfect, then why do we need judgment day? Because we're already perfect.
Exactly. And that's the thing, because the whole theology of Christianity is that we're not perfect and that we are fallen and we but whenever
there's a contradiction
like this
there.
And like transphobia, they always do that, like, God created you perfectly, why are you trying to change what God made? But so when it fits their narrative,
yeah,
we're perfect, God made us perfect. But when it's, when something like this, we're perfect, but regular, you're fallen, it's a sin of the flesh, you want to avoid following the flesh, you need to go to the spiritual world. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. This sucks.
Yeah.
Fuck this. Fuck this song. Fuck this band. They don't know what they're talking about. They're dinks.
Yeah.
I'm taking a hard stance this time. I don't know anything about them, but I'm not a fan. So I'm
just
going to
fuck right off. Yeah.
Sure. You know what? I'm going to unsubscribe to this band.
Yeah. Take that life breakthrough, all one word.
I don't know. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're horrible. But either way, I don't want to talk about them.
No. No. They can go fuck themselves.
Sure. Fuck you. Right.
Well, thanks, everybody. It's been wonderful spending time with you. Thanks for putting us in your ear holes.
Thank you for letting us into your homes, your houses, your head spaces.
Yeah.
And we'll be back again soon. Bye-bye.
Work, 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 Sky Moon.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network. Sonar!